everyone. Welcome to Fam for All Moms. My name is Shahrzad Kiade, and joining me to my right is my co-host, Susan Yara.
Hello. Does my name... You guys, my name is Susan Yara. I feel like we're always laughing by that point.
I think they know who you are.
Do they know who I am?
Susan Yara.
Susan Yara.
Is sitting right next to me in the studio.
Welcome everybody. Ooh. To Fam for All Moms. We're so excited about today's topic because it's with one of your friends,
it's
right?
It's one of my favorite people who I miss so much. COVID is keeping us apart and I'm damn mad about it. But we're going to have fun. I personally share some fun little tidbits about myself. So mm-hmm. you're going to want to. So you guys are going to get to meet one of my favorite people, Jen Cassetta. She's fabulous. There's so many things that I could say about her. She's a friend of mine. She's wonderful. She's a health and fitness professional, an expert. And recently she's been working with teenagers in this kind of like treatment center in Malibu. And it's really changed her life. She's been telling me about it for a few years. And I think what she has to say is going to be really helpful for any moms listening on how you can prepare yourself a little bit better for a teenager, or things that you can look out for if you have a teenager mm-hmm. who may be going through some stuff.
Absolutely. I'm already thinking about this stuff.
I obsessively think about teenagers. Anyway,
before we talk about teenagers,
let's have some fun. So Susan, I feel like you're going to have a nice, colorful answer for this question, but how do you deal with your husband during quarantine?
Well, basically, we don't talk to each other anymore.
No,
it's a joke. But, okay. You know, we do.
Well, sometimes I don't know.
Honestly, you know what helped us? And you guys have heard me I've been talking about this a lot lately. Is putting our kids on a schedule at night mm-hmm. has really helped our relationship.
Have a little date with him.
Yeah. Well, it's not even having a little date with him at this point. It's really just like having a little bit of free time mentally from the kids. Like when you put them on a schedule and you make sure that they go to bed, like at the latest, our kids are in bed now at 8 p.m.
Nice.
At the latest,
nice.
Which it was creeping to 10 p.m., mm-hmm. 11 p.m. Like it was getting weird mm-hmm. with me and with our kids as far as their schedules were going. Once we put them on a schedule, it opened up a whole new world for me and Arun because we can now either watch something, we can talk to each other, we can catch up on something, like even if it's work-wise, whatever. We have some free time in the evenings now. And that really has changed our relationship and how we deal with each other because we're not so pissed.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome.
How about you?
Don't hate me out there, guys, but Michael and I have been in a really good place. And I don't know if it's, I think there's a lot of factors here. The normal things that I realized kind of would bug me a little bit were pre-COVID related. Like, for example, getting our kids ready and dressed and fed and out the door every morning was a little tornado that lasted for an hour. It was always kind of like running around in circles. And I used to get a little bit annoyed with him. And I don't think I've ever actually verbalized this to him, but if he would be checking an email while we had to get our kids ready and dressed and fed and out the door and all that stuff and wasn't helping me, I'd get annoyed with him. Mm-hmm. And that annoyance might like build up, you know, to where something else that seems insignificant might make it a bigger deal or might become a bigger deal because of the little annoyance that I had never actually really identified. But in those times, I think what I had really wanted him to do was just be super hands-on for that hour so we can just like get up and just like go, 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 because it's a dance in the kitchen of getting the breakfast and the this and the shoes and the lunches. Now that we're not in quarantine, we don't have that. So we have like much more relaxed mornings. He's in charge of breakfast for the boys. It's really nice. There's no rush. And he's also the happiest he's ever been because of his bourbon brand. And it's doing really well. It's called Lucky 7. Shameless plug. Thank you very much. So, yeah. Oh, and we had a date. We had our first date during quarantine. My dad, who's part-time resident of Redondo Beach, watched the boys so we could go have a dinner. Don't hate me for going out to eat, but we went out to eat.
Good.
We wore our masks. We took them off to eat, and it was glorious.
Huh.
Because we got to have a conversation. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't tried it yet, and I'm actually starting to feel like maybe we should go try one of those like outdoor restaurants.
It was outdoor. I will say the place we went was like super safe and great, and it was really nice, and I'm really happy we got to do that. Okay, another question. What did you do to get back in shape postpartum? Well, I'm about 3.5 years out, and I'm still working on that, so if you ever have any tips, let me know. It goes in waves for me.
Yeah, you know, I think that the best thing to keep in mind is that, you know, I always kind of hate, and you guys are about to hear Jen say this, so
yeah.
I love you, Jen, but, you know, people say, like, give your body a break. It just went through so much, and I think that actually sometimes that, like bugs me when people say that.
Well,
the first time around, second time around, I actually took that to heart when people would say that. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give myself a break. And that, and then I actually lost way more weight.
Yeah.
And my body was so much better. So it's true. You should give yourself a break, right? And like chill out. But I also understand when people get really pissed when you hear that, because the first time around, I was super type A about it.
And you wanted like actual tips. Yes. Like you wanted somebody to say like waist trainer and like 1500 calories a day and like 8 gallons of water.
Go work out and stuff.
Don't take any of that advice for real, guys.
Yeah, no. But seriously, that's what I was looking for. I wanted the game plan. Like, what's the game plan to lose all this weight? And then I like didn't lose any weight for the longest time. It took me over a year to lose my baby. And I actually didn't, by the second pregnancy, hadn't fully lost my weight. I'd say I'm actually getting closer to now to losing my baby weight.
Yeah.
Pre-Nikosh.
Yeah.
And easier and faster because I haven't worried about it as much.
Yeah.
The only thing I started doing was I start going for walks.
Yeah. Walks are clutch.
And it like suddenly gets your mind going, like your body working and stuff. And it's so easy to do. So that was my big thing, was giving myself a break.
Yeah.
And also going for walks.
Yeah.
And then now getting into the workouts. Okay. And then third question.
And the third question we do kind of talk about a little bit more in the episode. And this is going to be a nice, juicy, long episode. I think you guys are going to really like it. But again, a popular question is birth control. I use the good old fashioned pull and pray method, and you're going to hear Susan talk about it too.
We both do it. Well, now I don't because I'm snipped. I had my tubes cut after my second pregnancy. During my C-section it happened, and I'm really happy about it. And I know a lot of people are like, why didn't you just have your husband get a vasectomy? And the thing I say is, because I like to be in control of myself. So yes, I understand, like, it's very liberating to have your man be in charge of it, but I am a type A to like type A kind of person, and I am in control of my body. And if anything ever happens in the future, we ever get a divorce, God forbid, I am in charge. I can go slut it out and never get pregnant again. Fine. He then has to worry, and not me.
Ooh, burn.
But you know what? One of the girls on my team, she swears by the IUD, though.
Yeah.
She loves
it. You guys will hear me say that I hate birth control. And I want to just clarify that it just didn't work for me as an adult, but definitely do whatever works for you. I'm on the pull and pray. I'm a sensitive person.
Sensitive in
every way.
Your hormones.
So it didn't work for me, but I did try a lot of different kinds in my early days, and I came to that conclusion. So I don't want to talk smack about birth control. Do whatever works for you. On that note, after these ads, you're going to hear from our guest, Jen Cassetta. Ladies and gentlemen, bring. I feel like I've been on summer vacation for a really long time, but luckily I have KiwiCo to keep me and my kids sane.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about KiwiCo before, you guys. We love these cool boxes that get sent to the house. Whatever your kid is into, they have a really cool curated box. Whether your kid wants to explore science or arts, they have different age ranges. My oldest, who's 6, can actually take one of these and go play quietly for at least 30 minutes. I'm not going to guarantee any longer than that, but 30 minutes is a good amount of time.
Well, you know, they almost feel like they're getting mail. Nikosh is really into that. Like, a box arrives, and if it has his name on it, he's pumped. He actually, because he's gotten his KiwiCo boxes every month, he actually thinks that when boxes arrive, there's a chance it's for him now. And it's really cute. It's really cute to watch him. So you'll be surprised at how high quality all the materials are. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for your children. I mean, so these are really fun projects where they actually get to learn also.
They're really encouraging your children to be innovators, creative thinkers. It's beautiful to see, and I have to say, it's a nice little break for me as a mom.
There are different crates for all kids of all ages, so there's something for every kid on your list.
KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo.
Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/fam. That's kiwico.com/fam.
Jen, 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 I'm so excited. I miss you. I haven't seen you since my 36th birthday, which was over a year ago because I am now 37. Thank you very much. And that makes me sick because I used to see you all the time. We used to hike together all the time. I miss you.
I miss you so much too. And Susan, you were there too. So it's been a year since I've seen either of you.
I know. It makes me sick. I know. I miss everybody.
I know.
Oh. Everybody.
Oh my God.
Even people that I didn't miss before.
I know. Wait, Michael constantly references the after party. You weren't there, sadly, at my house. And I remember you looked at me and you were like, wait, your kids are going to be there. We're going to an after party at your house. And I was like, yes. And then we drank a magnum sized bottle of Camus wine. And we have video. I feel like there's a video of like you and Erica and me.
Yeah, so I injured myself.
Oh, fuck.
I was doing squats.
That's
with
right.
The Magnum.
That's right.
In heels with a torn labrum in my hip. And like the next few days, I was like, wow, to my husband, like, my hip is really achy. And he pulls up his phone and he shows me the video.
I love it.
Oh, my God. So fun. It makes me miss you so much. Okay, so I want to get into this with questions. We're starting to do this fun thing where we ask our guests some fun little questions that are really popular in our Facebook group. So one of the questions, I mean, dealing with husbands, especially during COVID,
yep,
is like one of the most popular topics. How's Lindsay? How are you dealing with Lindsay being stuck together all the time?
It's been real. Let's just say that, you know? Well, so we used to work together in the same house all the time. So a lot of this is not so new for me, but one of us would usually be traveling. So we'd get like these breaks from each other, which, not going to lie, is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absence makes the heart grow a little fonder. And so we don't have those breaks. So I'm making sure that, you know, I get out of the house for a walk or a bike ride or something each day to just make sure that there's me time, right? Don't we know? Well, we all need that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you, when I met you, and we'll talk about how we met in a second, but you are a health and fitness expert and professional. So a lot of moms in the group talk about how to get back in shape or little easy, I think, manageable tips to add back into their life after they have a baby. What do you recommend?
Oh, gosh.
I know you have a lot, but let's say like some maybe top three or top five like tips for somebody who just had a baby who wants to like get back into shape or lose weight.
Sure. I've had lots of clients come to me for that reason in particular. You know, I would start by honestly just saying be easy on yourself.
Yeah.
Your body just went through a massive transformation and did so much great work that now it's time to nourish your body. Your baby is literally like a leech inside your body, like taking all your vitamins and minerals and nutrients away from you, specifically like omega-3s, you know, literally out all your stores. So this time is to rebuild back those stores of different vitamins, minerals, nutrients, again, especially like omega-3s. So again, I don't like to do blanket recommendations for everybody, but, I would say like, get on your supplement routine, try to figure out what your body's missing. Get some sunshine for vitamin D making in your body for sure. You definitely need that. Omega-3s, I would say you can supplement with a fish oil supplement or go the food route and get them from things like nuts and seeds and fatty fish like wild salmon. Good food, you know, really good, hearty, healthy fats, avocados, walnuts, pumpkin seeds. And I would say just move your body, but don't punish it, right? Do things that you find fun, that you have time for, and you could fit into your now completely busy days. Even 10, 15, or 20 minute segments throughout the day are better than none. And that's usually my blanket recommendation. Like whatever you can find, what space you can carve out in your day for you to take care of your body, do that. Even if it's 5 minutes,
yeah,
it's better than zero.
I got to remind myself of that mm-hmm. too, you know, because sometimes I'm like, one walk around the block is stupid. That's not going to do anything, but it's better than nothing.
It's so good, even for mental health.
Yeah. This is, again, another popular one. What is your favorite birth control method?
Interesting.
this comes up honestly,
it
like
really
daily.
Does. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, it does. I think I know your answer, but maybe not. Or anyway, go ahead.
I mean, I do have a lot to say on this.
Okay,
from,
go ahead.
From like a health coach perspective, as well as my own experience, which I'm happy to share. Mm-hmm. And this is not a very popular opinion, but I'm not a big fan of birth control.
Oh, like, I hate it with a passion, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never took it. I took it once when I was like 21 for 3 months, and I turned into a psycho, and I was like, I'm not taking this.
So yeah. So do you do
the pull and pray?
Okay, the international method of withdrawal.
I've never heard that before. Hold a minute. It's the international method of withdrawal. Is that what you said?
I just wanted to make it sound like it was sophisticated. Sophisticated method.
You know, yes. And it did me well up until, you know, I got married. And then I did have 3 pregnancies, actually, that never worked out for other reasons, but I was able to get pregnant after 40. But, you know, so I think I didn't screw with my hormones for my whole like 20s and 30s, which was a good thing. I see so many teenagers. Okay, so I'm a nutritionist, right, as well. And I see hundreds of teenagers per year at these treatment centers that I work at. And you would be shocked at the number of girls on birth control at such young ages. And I just think, holy cow, like you're going to be on this your whole adult life, right? If you're, and they're going on it, not for the use of birth control.
Right.
And that's kind of what irks me too, is they're going on it to regulate their periods.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, see, I used to always hear that from girls in high school, and I'd be like, this bitch is fucking, she's saying that it's for her period. But I'd be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I get it. I got on birth control when I was 15.
Oh God, I was 12, guys.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I got the depot shot from Planned Parenthood when I was 12.
I was 15.
Yeah, yeah, I got, and I.
And it's
so
because I was
on,
fucking.
I was on birth control from like probably, I don't know, 12 to like maybe early 20s, late teens, early 20s before I just decided it just made me feel weird. Actually, no, yeah. I had it in college too.
Yeah.
So really, I think, I guess I've been off of it for like 12 years, pretty much since I met Michael. And I, anyway.
No,
random personal fact, but
it's interesting that you bring that up, because when I got on birth control, I was not very far into like my hormones and like the change of becoming like a woman and all that stuff. And this is very distinct. Well, you know, the changes that your body goes through, right? Like I distinctly remember this.
Menopause though.
The change. Well, I distinctly remember it because I was in cross country. I was on the cross country team and I was a badass. I hadn't really like gained hips or anything like that. I had started my period at that point. I started when I was like 12, but because I didn't have like much body shape, I was like this little boy basically. So I would like crush it in cross country. I was a really good runner. And I remember I got on birth control at 15. And the reason I got on birth control is because I told my mom, I was like, I think me and my boyfriend are going to do it. And she was like, what? Oh my God. So she took me to the doctor. I got on birth control. It seemed like overnight my body blossomed. It was traumatizing as a 15-year-old because I went from being like no shape to my body whatsoever. Like I was like a size like minus zero. Like that's how like no body shape I had whatsoever. And then I suddenly had huge hips, couldn't fit into my pants. My thighs were like huge. And this is in a matter of like less than a month, to the point where my cross country coach pulled me aside and because I was doing terribly also. I couldn't run anymore. Suddenly I was like big thighs and like not, you know, it was not lanky at all. And I couldn't run anymore. It was so weird. And my cross country coach was like, Mrs. B says that you're snacking in her homeroom class.
Oh, whoa.
And he's like, you've gained so much weight.
Whoa.
Are you pregnant?
Damn.
That's what my coach told me. And I was so like embarrassed that he asked me this and like obviously was calling attention to my body.
It was an older man.
This is my coach, my cross country coach. And I was so embarrassed. I quit. And I went home and I told my mom. Oh. And, you know, like now as an adult, I look back on that and I wish that the doctors or somebody would have given me a heads up that like birth control might change your body because you're already going through it, you know, and already like embarrassed. I used to wear a baggy jacket everywhere. Mm. And then like to have my body just like blossom overnight was really embarrassing.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's the second person today that's told me the same thing.
Really?
Another woman just literally told me a story that's weird.
What a trip. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, birth control is just a lot of moms ask to like what to do after they have a kid so they don't get pregnant again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's of course a common thing. And I never have anything to say because I'm always like, I don't like it. It doesn't work for me. I'm so sensitive. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything messing with my hormones. And like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I think birth control is great. It's obviously liberated women.
Yeah,
it's like right. an amazing thing, amazing tool. I think yeah. it's just education though, right? Like letting people know that most birth control when it's hormone based is telling your body that your body is pregnant already so you don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And I think that's what I didn't fully grasp as a 15-year-old was that my body, you know, like I'm snacking in homeroom because my body thinks it's pregnant, you know, and like I'm gaining weight rapidly because my body thinks it's pregnant. And I think these are this like there's no you don't really understand that as a 15-year-old. I definitely would have not. I don't know if I would have gotten on it, to be honest. But then like what would my mom have done? Right. Like she would have been like in a panic knowing that her daughter just confessed that she might be doing it with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
doing it well.
Doing it.
And you know, it's like.
So wait, you're on the old pull and pray method though now.
But
then.
I'm on the pull and pray method
but
now.
Arun has been. Snipped.
No. I've been snippy snipped. Right, that's yeah, right. I've been snippy snipped now.
So
and I'd recommend it because I don't worry about anything now.
Yeah.
Woo.
Interesting. Party.
Interesting.
You know what's funny is that. Cyrus is like so good at wearing masks. For Idris, it was a little bit harder to get him on board. We've talked about this privately, but I've decided that to get my kids really, really on board with wearing masks, they need to be super fun, super bright, and comfortable. Insert Crayola school mask pack. We've talked about this before. We both love them specifically because, well, for me anyway, they're adjustable so they can be really comfortable on my kids. They also come in a lot of different bright colors. You get 5 in a pack, 1 for each school day. You know, my kids get to like pick out the color that they want that matches with their outfit and they get to have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah. And you know, I love that it comes in this little like mesh laundry bag. So you actually can like store the dirty ones in there and then you just throw it into the wash at the end of the week. So it makes it really straightforward.
Fun fact, Parenting Magazine called School Mask Pack this year's must-have back-to-school item. So even if you're not really going back to school, it's a great thing to have. And that's why they're being recognized by People Magazine and Pop Sugar. So they've gotten a lot of good love from a lot of great people because they're awesome.
And you know what? Crayola School Mask Pack will donate a portion of your purchase to a charity of your choice that supports kids that have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, which, you know, there are a lot of people who are hurting right now. So I really love that. When you're buying your masks, you're helping to keep other people safe, but you're also contributing to other people who definitely have been hurt by this.
I love that. You guys can do what I did and get your family the Crayola Mask Pack today at schoolmaskpack.com/fam. That's schoolmaskpack.com/fam. I always think it's fun to hear about how people met. And our friendship began from good old fashioned Craigslist. Did you know that?
Yes.
I was looking for a trainer because I was supposed to be doing this reality show with this makeup artist that I worked for. And I felt like I wanted to like get in really good shape for TV. And so LA, I was 26, I guess. So we've known each other for like 11 years. And I found you on Craigslist. I can't remember what your bio said, but this was back in the Craigslist days. And right. I was like, oh my God, she's amazing. And then you came over and we would box together in my little apartment in Brentwood. And then I can't remember if you lived in Brentwood at the time, but then eventually, yeah that's right, right? So then we became mm-hmm. friends and we would go on these long walks and long hikes. We used to hike Westridge Trailhead all the time. I feel like we would work out all our problems on the way up. Of the mountain, and then coming down, we'd like feel so light and free and good. And I, God, I miss that.
Me too.
Yeah, but that's how we met and we became friends, and I've loved you ever since. And you had this crazy life where you were training somebody who was in the, I guess, I don't know, royal Saudi royal family, and you were every other day. Was he a royal, or he worked for the royal family?
Just a businessman,
a rich Saudi. Yeah. And so she was like on a private jet constantly. She'd be like, oh, I just saw the Taj Mahal. Okay, cool. I'm going to Kenya. Bye. Can't come to your dinner right now because I'll be in Kenya. And anyway, you have a crazy, cool, fascinating life and history. And I know you've been a trainer. You've worked as a health and fitness expert for years. You've also taught these amazing workshops to really empower women, stilettos and self-defense, where you've taught people basically how to defend themselves in heels.
She taught us.
Yeah, she taught us. Yeah. She's been on the mom's view back in the day teaching.
Yep.
And that stemmed from you getting attacked in New York City. You're a New Yorker. And you turned a super shitty negative into a positive. And I know you have a long, amazing resume, and everybody, you guys should stalk her. You put out so much good, positive, motivating information out there for women that I think is really beneficial for everybody. But today, what I wanted to focus on is all the work that you do specifically with teenagers, right? Is it all teenagers or teenage girls?
All
teenagers.
12 to 19 or 19. And now they're going up. There's another house that I work at that are like young adults. And all genders.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
And they're dealing with what? With
eating disorders. So, right. And
So pretty much the treatment center I work at is not just for eating disorders. It's for any kid that goes there that's experiencing any kind of mental health disorder. So anxiety, depression are the number one, like hands down, 90% of the kids that I see, they're there because they are anxious, they're depressed, they don't know how to deal with it. You know, they're not functioning well in society. And then some fall into the substance abuse, some fall into the eating disorder, some have it all going on. So lots of different experiences.
Yeah. And so, this is an important topic because, absolutely. I think about this, just looking at my toddler, my baby, I'm like, how am I going to deal with them as teenagers? What is life going to be like for them with social media and everything, the pressure of everything? What's it going to be like when they're teenagers? What do you tell these kids? What are they telling you? What's wrong?
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh God, there's so much. I don't even know where to begin, you guys. I just have to say it's so much different than when we grew up, you know? Yeah. And I think the biggest difference is the social media, right? We didn't have that. We weren't so distracted. We weren't constantly seeing people's, you know, photoshopped photos and living their best lives. Like we didn't have access to that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Oh my. I think about this. It's front and center in my mind all the time.
Yep.
All the time. Because, and I know I've talked to both of you separately, but I was super wild. And I know I've mentioned this on here. And I got into a lot of trouble with my parents, with the law. I had older boyfriends all the time. I did every drug under the sun. I went to rehab before I went to high school. Like I was a mess too for a few years. And that's without social media.
Yeah.
So you add this whole other huge layer of comparing yourself. I remember finding out like friends of mine or a guy I liked would be hanging out. I'd find out like a week later that they hung out and I'd be crushed. But imagine finding out right away that everybody's hanging out and you're not. And you think, and just the comparing thing that people fall into as adults, let alone somebody who's not fully developed, a teenager. So yeah,
How do you deal with this? I know. I've been thinking about this a lot because I had my own situation on social media where people came at me and think that they, you know, people think that they know everything mm-hmm. or that they have the right to tell you something that they would never tell you in person. Also, you know, it's like, it's interesting to, you know, after I went through my own situation, I had people reach out to me to tell me the situations with their teenagers.
Yeah.
So like one person told me that his daughter's best friend got a picture of her posted on Facebook by a guy mm-hmm. and she looked fat is what he called her. Mm-hmm. He was like, she's fat basically. And everyone, there were like 500 comments of classmates being like, yeah, she is fat and teasing her.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, his daughter being the best friend felt awkward because she's like, what am I supposed to say? And my friend, I'm watching my friend be bullied, right? So that was one situation I heard of. The other one that blew my mind was my hairstylist told me that one of her clients had just moved from the UK here to LA, and their daughter, teenage daughter, was in therapy right now because they were moving for work. And so they already knew some of the families that they were going to be working with and stuff. So they introduced their daughter online to their kids. She has photoshopped the hell out of her own pictures online. So these kids knew her as the photoshopped person mm-hmm. in her pictures, but knowing that she now was going to have to meet them in person and show them what she really looks like, she started having anxiety about it.
Oh my God.
Because she was like, I look like a different person. I photoshopped the heck out of myself. And she had this reality, like they're going to see what she actually looks like now. So she had to start going to therapy so that she can meet these kids in person.
And you deal with this every day. How do you, what are the conversations like with the kids and the parents? And I definitely want to talk about what are some things that parents can just be on the lookout for? Because I know that there's moms of teenagers here or all preteens that are about to go through a wild ride with social media.
Yeah, literally, this is something used to be like, I would just call it my side job, like this part-time gig. But I've been doing it so long now. I've been there for 8 years and I've seen like literally probably over thousand children, you know, that I'm starting to lean into it because I've just learned so much. So I'm the nutritionist there, right? Mm-hmm. So I have an intake and I'm asking them all sorts of questions, but not just about their food. I'm trying to learn about their lifestyle. What is life for you like at home? From everything from like what you actually eat throughout the day, but more so like, do you eat at school? Most kids, nope. They won't eat in front of other students.
Wow.
I'm like, I was nobody. Like
not me. I ate all the time.
I starved myself. I did not eat in front of anybody until I was like probably 15.
I didn't know this about you.
In front of a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Girls I would pick out in front of.
Absolutely.
But if there was a guy that I liked, I would starve myself.
No, that was me too. Yeah. But like, but you're saying just in general, they don't eat at school.
They will not eat at school. And many times they skip breakfast and they're all drinking coffee. Like, which again, I don't think I never drank coffee as a kid.
Either.
No one I knew drank coffee as a kid.
We had Frappuccinos you know what? I drank coffee.
I had
Frappuccino. Not like, you know, it's funny. I don't like coffee now. I'm not really a coffee person or a caffeine person, but every now and then we'd get a Frappuccino from Starbucks or something, you know, just like 500 calories and then not eat anything else.
Maybe it's I just missed that generation or something because there was Starbucks, I guess, when I was a teenager, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not for me. And I'm a little older than both of you, I think. So and plus where I grew up, like there wasn't. But now they're all like getting coffee drinks and or Monsters and all these like super caffeinated things. So they're amped up on caffeine and sugar all day and not eating. Now, again, I'm generalizing. These are the kids that I'm seeing that have issues, right? Around eating and body image, et cetera. Then maybe they'll eat something later on and then they eat mostly at night, right? So, and then I'll ask things like, well, what's dinner time like at home? Do you guys eat together as a family? And a lot of times it's no, it's they're taking food and going into their rooms. And like, again, of course, what are they doing in their room? Like attached to these phones or playing video games or TikTok, whatever. There's no social bonding around food, around the dinner table. And I think that's completely missing and something that's so, so important for social development for kids. And
absolutely.
Like, imagine like old, like later on, right? You're going on an interview or your boss wants to take you to lunch or something. You have no skills, no social skills around mealtimes.
Yeah.
So I just think people aren't thinking long term. These little things that go on now. And again, I can dig into any of those little topics and why they're prevalent or why they're not great for development and not great for mental or physical health. Just the long-term effects. That's something else I've been thinking about a lot.
Well, what do you do for these kids? Because obviously, like, are you talking to their parents also? Like, it's got to be not just the kids that can solve this.
Unfortunately, as the nutritionist, I do not talk to their kids. To the parents. I wish. That is something that I really want to do more so, because I think the parents have the biggest role in helping their kids around these things. And a lot of times the parents are very hands-off, and that's why these kids kind of go astray or don't have healthy eating habits at home, because they're left to their own devices. I mean, and what teenager wouldn't just like eat whatever they want?
I was McDonald's, right? All the time whenever I could. Wait, so what would you tell these parents then? So one would be to make sure that you guide them on what they eat, but the dinner table, the dinner at in the evening is important, you think?
Like a no device table kind of thing? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so one would be like structure, right? Having meal structure in general, so many kids don't have. Like they just eat whenever they want. They eat when they get hungry. Another whole topic. Oh my God, you guys, I can go on and on about this stuff.
Good,
go on.
Like, just tell me what to dig in. So many kids are on ADHD meds now today, yeah, too. Yeah. So
they're not hungry.
That's an appetite suppressant, right? They're on stimulants. Mm-hmm. And they're drinking coffee, more stimulants. So nobody's like eating real food.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's so sad. And then when they do, it's usually junk. Wow. You know, they start their day with junk, or they're snacking on junk.
Well, and they crash off of like Adderall or Ritalin. You have a crash after that. You know, you're like wired. I mean, I don't even want to say it, but I took tons of Adderall in college.
You did?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So many people do. I even
drove to Mexico and just crossed the border. Sometimes once by myself, I just hopped over to TJ, got in a cab and asked for the generic Mexican version of Adderall, and then drove 4 hours back up to LA and popped that shit like crazy because it went great with tequila. And also you didn't eat. And there was, you know, so I mean, again, that's pressure pre-social media. So pressure with social media is magnified by a freaking bajillion. And I don't know what the solution is, but I obsessively think about it. And yeah, you're dealing with parents who didn't, I would say a lot of the parents of these teenagers didn't grow up with social media, right? They're like a little bit older than us. So they remember what life was like pre-social media, but now for whatever reason, they haven't carved out their own healthy habits. So they don't even know how to teach their kids.
Yeah. And these kids span their, I mean, we're talking about kids from wealthy backgrounds, well-educated parents. Like this is not just, you know, kids that didn't grow up with educated parents. Like I'm talking about very wealthy, very educated.
Yeah.
So you would think that they know better. We know better, right? Like, and that's not always the case. So there's just so many different topics again. So structure being one of them, meal structure.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
You know, eating about three times a day for most people. Again, it could be different for everyone, but having kids like make sure that they're going to eat breakfast or brunch, like some food to break the fast from the night before. Again, especially if you're using stimulants, because I think you were about to say you eventually crash. Eventually at the end of the day or sometime when that wears off, you're absolutely starving. Yep. So a lot of these kids then will binge eat, which is the other side of restriction, right? So one issue is restriction. Another, or I should say disordered eating would be restriction. Another could be binge eating disorder, right? Where it's just like nonstop. And then you get into this cycle of binge eating at night. You don't sleep well. So now kids aren't rested when they wake up, right? So then they're tired and groggy and not hungry. And then they just repeat the cycle. And I'm sorry, but adults do it too, right?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. But man.
So it's all about breaking that cycle where you're just constantly on this like hamster wheel.
Okay. So meal structure, making sure that they sit down with you to actually see you eat is probably a big one, right?
With kids seeing their parents eat.
Yeah, having that time right together as a family, right? That's probably a big one.
Yeah. And if you want to go there, then the whole issue around, so now if we're kind of like diving a little bit into like the disordered eating topic.
Yeah.
What I see a lot is, you know, well, why do these behaviors start? These are the questions I started really asking myself in the last couple of years. Like, what's really going on there? Because as a nutritionist, I'm supposed to talk about food, and kids go to these eating disorder clinics, and it's really just like forcing them to eat a number of calories per day and certain things and macronutrients. And I'm like, that's not it.
Yeah.
It's so much more than the food, right?
Yeah.
That's not what's going on. What's really going on? And then we'd start to peel back the layers and I start to learn, like, well, when did these feelings start? Or first of all, talk to me about your body image. How do you feel about your body?
And what are they saying?
Well, I'll give people a scale on a scale of 1 to 10. How comfortable do you feel? 10, awesome. 1, not at all. And it makes me cry.
Yeah.
1, negative 10, you know, like I hear just these awful numbers.
I understand that. I remember being a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
I remember, but I don't remember it that bad. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I got so sick of Nikosh watching YouTube that I decided to download the Homer app. And what's great about it is that it is a learning tool for kids of all ages. He's only 3, but he is already curious about reading. I see him trying to read to himself. So I pulled up this app and it's great because he can actually play with it all by himself. They basically teach him how to read and teach him about letters all through games.
That's awesome. And this is actually proven to work. In just 15 minutes a day of Homer reading, it was shown to increase early reading scores by 74%. So that's major. Like Susan said, it's good for kids really ages 2 to 8. There's thousands of lessons, stories, songs, sight words, ABCs. You know, it might even give parents a little bit of a break and your kids can learn at the same time, which to me is a win-win. You know, school seems like a thing of the past these days. So this is a great solution for kids who want to have a customized reading experience. What I really, really love is that you can choose from a lot of different subjects that your kids can learn about. Idris personally loves space and trucks. And I have to say, Cyrus also loves space and trucks, anything with construction. So it's great. You guys visit learnwithhomer.com/fam to start a free 60-day trial. You guys should definitely check out learnwithhomer.com/fam and get that free 60-day trial.
You have nothing to lose. Well, so how can the parents help? Again, I go back to, so the mom's listening right now, the parents listening.
So I'll ask, you know, okay, how long do you remember feeling that way? When did these low numbers start, right? So dig in a little bit and see when did this start? Okay, when I went off to high school or when I started junior high. All right, well, what happened around that time? And then usually there's some kind of, either there's an actual moment or story, or there's just like the whole pressure of being, you know, trying to be perfect in a unperfect world. But stories can be like, Susan, exactly what you said, what your coach did, comment on your body.
Mm-hmm.
That literally has, like, that story I've heard over and over and over again that has led kids down to the eating disorder path.
Wow.
Oh, my, literally, my coach comments on my body. My parents comment on my body. They comment on my portion sizes. They comment on what I eat. A brother.
Yeah, it just takes one major comment and you're like, whoa, I just realized this about myself.
If you don't have good coping skills to handle stress and anxiety, then yeah, one little comment can send you down a rabbit hole. Then all of a sudden you're on Instagram and you're following these influencers. Like, I made this young girl show me where she was getting this diet plan that she was on, God. Right? The girl was like 15, maybe. Maybe, I think she's younger. And she pulled up her Instagram and showed me, or no, she couldn't have her phone. So she told me the account and I looked at it and I was like, it's like this 20-year-old girl posing in bikini. Every picture was like her in a different bikini pose with her tongue sticking out. And I'm like, you're getting nutrition advice from her? Like, oh my God, what's going on? Telling you basically not to eat or just eat smoothies all day.
Wow.
And she's listening. So the information has to be somehow, you know, I know you can't control information that your kids are getting, but at least you're going to have to be the authority figure to teach them the right way.
Yeah,
I know. And it's not like anybody teaches nutrition in school, you know, in like elementary or junior high and high school. I mean, that's never a conversation. That was not a topic in any of the schools that
I
went to.
No, not
you know?
At all.
And I mean, imagine if that was
nutrition class.
In high school?
Uh-huh.
Was it good information now that you think back?
I mean, I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was probably like the
circle of like
the triangle.
The triangle. The pyramid, yeah. Of like all meat.
at the top.
Yeah, which is so, no, like cereal. Eat cereal.
Yeah. I remember that. I don't remember learning about nutrition. And then if you don't have your parents to talk to you or demonstrate healthy eating in front of you,
yeah,
and then you're left to your own devices to find somebody on Instagram who knows what qualifications they have, but you see them in a bikini getting likes and comments, and you think, well, if I eat what she's eating, I'll get the likes and comments too, and I'll be loved and accepted. And then you go down this fucking rabbit hole.
The worst part about that is when you see these really, really thin photoshopped girls or guys even, and then they're supposedly eating pizza, French fries, all like you see them posing with that stuff, and you're like,
well, how come she can eat a pizza and be so thin and I can't?
But we don't really know what these people look like and stuff and what they're really eating and everything. So I think that, but you know what I'm hearing from this? It's reminding me of this. It's like what we've had a conversation about that. Like what we say about ourselves, what we do with ourselves. Like if we are saying out loud, like you even said this, remember, like I'm so stupid or something that? Like just as a joke, like, oh God, I'm so stupid, like that, like sarcastically. But our kids see this and they hear this. And we're basically the example.
Absolutely. Which was going to be the next thing that was kind of coming from this conversation was so many times I'll kind of ask, well, what is your parents' relationship to food or their health or their fitness? And a lot of times either they're like super obsessive about it, like completely obsessive to the fact that they're always dieting. They're always on some kind of, lately it's always keto diet or this, something super restrictive, or they're, you know, commenting negatively on themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was thinking back to when we were probably kids, a lot of our mothers were doing Weight Watchers and stuff, but it just so happened that this kid I spoke to last week, I dug a little deeper, and she was saying that her mother was like, first of all, beautiful, right? Every daughter thinks their mother is like the most beautiful thing. So why would she need to diet? That's what's going through their mind, right? So if she needs to diet, I better diet. Mm-hmm. But this girl was like, remember that the kids were counting the points for their mother, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So what kind, you really have to be self-aware and know, like, just see what you're doing and what your behaviors are like, because your kids are like a sponge and they look up to you and they're going to do whatever you do.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, do the exact opposite. I've had lots of that too.
Are kids just like on a ton of drugs these days too, in general, that you've seen?
I mean, because of the place I work.
Yeah.
Sure. Most of it's marijuana, a lot.
Yeah.
But then I'll see kids, it's like cough syrup, all stuff. I just sometimes be like, oh, really? What is that? And where do you get it? And what does it do to you? Like, I'm so curious.
Yeah. I'm curious too. I'm curious as to what, like, I'm so out of touch with teenagers personally. I don't know.
I mean, we're about to be super in touch in like another few years.
I know. But, like, I don't know. I literally can't think of the last teenager that I had a conversation with or that I even saw, you know, and
I mean, my niece.
So I don't know what's going on at all.
My oldest niece. I have three nieces now and a nephew. My oldest niece just became a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually such a good kid and like really chill. And, you know, I don't see any of this with her. Like, she's like kind of nerdy and like you're kind of, I'm like happy for it. She's like beautiful, but she doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, like that kind of situation. And that makes me really, really happy. My hairstylist just showed me her niece, who is like 11. She showed me a picture of her because she was like, I can't believe like this kind of like day and age that she's growing up in. She shows me a picture of her. She looks like she's 20. She's posing like she's a sex kitten.
And she's 11.
And she's 11 years old. And she's got makeup on, her hair. I mean, she's just, like, you think she's so much older because of the way she looks, mm-hmm. because of the way she's presenting herself in this picture. And that scared the shit out of me, having a daughter, right? I'm like, oh my God, if my baby wants to be like a sex kitten at 11, I'm going to have a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
And then the other experience I've had with like teenagers is just kind of like seeing online, like the girls that are reaching out to me and stuff and talking about their acne to mm-hmm. me and like that kind of stuff. And man, I can't believe, you know, like what they're dealing with social media.
Yeah, I feel like that's just such a common thing. And if I could just keep pounding this thing in that you have to create healthy social media habits for yourself. Otherwise, you as a person can go insane. And then especially if you have teenage kids, to model good, healthy behavior mm-hmm. when it comes to social media and like remind them they don't need. I don't even know what to say because I'm not there yet. And I just think about myself as a teenager talking about being 11 and a sex kitten.
I know.
I mean, I absolutely looked older when I was 11.
Yeah.
And I wore makeup when I was 11. Scary. And I had one of my aunts highlight my hair, and I was tall, and I snuck out. Boys thought when I was 11, I had a guy convinced I was 15 for 6 months, and he was my boyfriend. And then on my 12th birthday, when he thought I was actually turning 16, he like found out. Okay. So this is like, this is every person's fucking nightmare. And you guys both know my family. I have fabulous parents who didn't model any shitty behavior. And we had dinner every single night. And, you know, I got into trouble for a few years of my life. But, I mean, I was the absolute nightmare case scenario that we're talking about here. And that's, again, without social media. Well, so I just think about what would have happened if I was social just media. Being a little hoe on the ground, like a little thirsty girl.
So not to get all therapist on you, but have you done like some investigation on like why did you?
We have. I was just going to say that. Like, so the difference is, right? So I was 15 on birth control. So I'm obviously having sex too and everything at a young age. But I think the difference is but your mom was open. But the thing is that you had a dad.
Oh, my dad was super strict.
Super strict.
Yeah.
Whereas my parents weren't that strict. And my mom especially was so like, you'd come to me, even if I don't like this, you can tell me about it.
Oh, yeah.
Hence me going to her and being like, I think I'm about to lose my virginity. And then she was like, getting you on birth control kind of thing. And it wasn't. And I think that's the big difference.
Yeah.
So I basically was with the same guy almost all of high school.
Yeah.
And my mom's happy with that. Right. She was like, great. I know what's going on. I've got this under control. She's not going to be a teen mom. Like that was, and I look back on that, right? And because I could have gone the other way had she been not open.
Yeah, I think that's great your mom took you to go on birth control. Yeah. I could tell my mom anything for sure. My dad was strict with me. Old school. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not, it's weird to say because compared to some people's Middle Eastern fathers, he wasn't anywhere near as strict as some of them. But for
He married an American woman.
Exactly. But for me, compared to some of my friends' dads, he was strict. Like,
yeah.
Bubba June was, I couldn't talk to boys. That's the funny thing. It's like, I wasn't allowed to have a guy call me in fifth grade to do a group project with him. I would get in trouble from that. So then it made me go in the complete opposite direction. Then by the time my sister came along and was like in high school, I mean, she could have like a guy in her room with the door open, but I was like, what? Do you know what I've went through to get you that privilege? You know, like I went through fucking hell, man. And you know, now it's so different. Obviously, I'm an adult and I've been married for a long time. And I joke every now and then with my dad. And I turned out good. You know, I think considering all the trouble I got into, things could have definitely gone in the wrong direction for me. And that's why I'm always like saying how thankful I am that there wasn't social media when I was growing up, because I was that girl who would post something bad.
I mean, I think we all would have been though, right? Like, we've had our moments, all of us.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Jen, you're strict? My therapist, but yeah. So
did you have a strict parent too, Jen?
Her dad was a cop.
Like, He was retired from the force when I was like little and got into real estate. But he was always that mentality. And growing up with a detective, like an NYPD ex-detective is not fun. You think, you know, you never get away with anything. But it's funny, like my mom was also very strict compared to all my friends. So I probably rebelled in different ways, but definitely, you know, with the boy stuff, like I'm still going back being like, why did I always crave male attention? You know, sorry, now I'm getting like real therapist.
No, good. I like that.
But serious, like I wonder and I'm like, you know, I had great parents. They gave me everything I needed and the attention I needed. But there must have been something going on where I'm craving male attention all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I probably, and now I see this with the kids I work with. It's like, why do especially girls give away so much of themselves to boys? And yeah.
I want to know. Let's come back to this. Let's dig deep and know, because I think we all just said like kind of different parent structures, and mm-hmm. we still all feel like we were teenagers that were obsessed with boys, right?
Oh my God, I was so obsessed with boys.
So what was it? That's a whole other episode. I think we need to come back to it.
Yes, and well, to add on to that, that we can get back to, is the difference between being obsessed with boys. Okay, that's kind of fun and normal and just hormones raging, but having boundaries enough to value yourself and your body and to make decisions based on your value versus what the boy wants. And if I do this sexual act, he'll like me. And that mean, you know what I'm saying? That's where I was, and I want to figure out why. And I see it now with young girls still. And I'm like, why aren't we taught how to set boundaries at a early age? That's something
we need to have.
That's a conversation.
I told you we were just going to have a little casual chat for like 30 minutes. And now it's like almost 43 minutes later. And now, yeah, well, let's continue this at another time, because I feel like we just scratched the surface on so many other things that you did, and we all went off on a random tangent, but I feel like that was good though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like thank you for being my therapist. we'll let you go, but before we do, where can people connect with you?
My website is easy. JenniferCassetta.com. Two S's.
Two T's.
Two N's, two S's, two T's. Jen Cassetta on Instagram.
Okay, awesome. And we'll have that in info in the description of this episode as well.
Awesome.
Thank you guys
Jen,
so
much. I love
much.
You so much.
Yeah,
I hope
Jen.
I see you in real life soon. And thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate it. I love all these topics. So keep them coming.
Me too. And I think that's it for us too. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Find us on Instagram @Charzakiade, @SusanYara. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Love ya.
Bye.